Hi guys, just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, friends. How does today find you? I hope it finds you well. This is Nicole, and welcome to my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain. Happy to be here with you. So today we have a real-time heal, pretty serious one, and I want to tell you in advance, as a trigger warning, that this real-time heal does discuss childhood sexual abuse. We do not get into graphic detail, but definitely it's an emotional conversation, and so I wanted to make sure to include that in the intro, that if this is not something that makes you feel comfortable, that might be a little bit too much for you to bear, then maybe this isn't the episode for you. But I will say it's an incredibly powerful real-time heal. Crystal is so brave and so willing to go there. I think all of us deep down struggle with the mother wound and with things that we were never able to get from our own mothers. And she is really honest and vulnerable about sharing that and her experiences of living through abuse and the family afterward and how, you know, when we don't get our needs met as young children, it can really continue to affect us for a lifetime. But we also can live in the solution, and we also can absolutely heal when we have the right tools. And Crystal is well on her way. So it's a really powerful real-time heal, and I look forward to sharing it with you. If you happen to be new to my work, just go over to thecureforchronicpain.com, click on the retreats tab to find out about my Omega retreat, August 1st through the 6th. Fully in person in upstate New York. It's going to be an incredible experience. And click on the resources tab if you need any help with any of my work or learning about journal speak or anything that I do. And if you want to take advantage of the free information I put out every day on Instagram, follow me at Nicole Sachs, LCSW. Okay, my loves, without further ado, I give you a powerful and a real-time heal that will stay with me for quite a while. I give you Crystal. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Real Time Heal. Today, I have Crystal with me. Welcome, Crystal.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Just before we got on the air, I was admitting to Crystal that I have been so busy. My kids are all finishing the year of school and I've got a lot going on with work that I completely and utterly forgot everything about what she wrote in her Real Time Heal application, which is great because we are really doing this full on blind, which is totally fine with me. So Crystal, I'm going to count on you to fill me in and tell me your story and start from wherever makes sense. And we will take it from there.
Okay. I guess I'll start from the very beginning and try to be as thorough as possible. Okay. When I was 5 years old, I was molested by my friend's dad and,
of course. I mean, that's capital T trauma right there.
Yeah. And I guess I don't talk about it much. The closest people to me know, but it's just not really in the forefront of my brain as I try not to have it. But it really made me aware of my body and things that I probably shouldn't have really been aware of at that young of an age. And I ended up going to my parents, which we went to the police. And I think the hardest part about that situation was having to demonstrate to the police officers what happened with my Barbie dolls. And, you know, something like that at 5 years old is just something you shouldn't be doing. And it's just a little traumatizing. I was from California and then my parents moved to Washington State. And so it's pretty much where I was raised. And when we moved to Washington, I was about 12 years old and my neighbor who I ended up marrying, was not a very good person. I ended up losing my virginity at 12 years old. We got married when I was 19 and I divorced him at 25, but he was very mentally and physically abusive and I never said anything. I think the only person that ever really knew was my brother, and his friends sometimes witnessed occasions, but never helped. And so I just dealt with it like as best as I could, and ended up getting the strength and courage to leave him and get a restraining order. And so I moved away for a while. And when I moved away, I moved to Las Vegas and tried to just start my life over. I had family there, so it wasn't something random. Plus, I was in restaurants and hospitality, so it just kind of fit to start over. And
right.
I ended up going just out and having drinks one night, and my anxiety really stemmed from, I went out and I was drinking a lot of Red Bull, vodka Red Bulls, and I ended up waking up the next day and having a pure panic attack. And that's just kind of when my anxiety started. And I didn't know what was wrong with me. I never realized how it felt. I think what happened was whatever was in caffeine, whatever was in the drinks, it just triggered something mentally. And I went to the doctors, they tried to put me on all this medication, which didn't work. It made it worse. I ended up getting massive suicidal thoughts and just was way out of my skin and out of my who I was, which I ended up weaning myself off of the medication. And yeah, I mean, I left Las Vegas and came back home.
All because of the anxiety? Was that the trigger for leaving?
It was. I was dating somebody at the time that was a pretty unhealthy relationship. And so I knew I needed to leave. And I tried living in California between that time for a little bit, and it just wasn't working out. And so I moved home, and I missed my family. I missed, you know, seeing the people that I knew. And so I came home and tried to just start over, and my anxiety got a lot better. I was getting in better shape. I was just taking better care of myself. But one thing I noticed when I came home is, you know, after all the bad shit that I kind of went through, my relationship with like my mom was, pretty unhealthy, and she, you know, I hate speaking unhealthy of her, but it's, it was just a relationship that we had that was really, more close as being friends than being,
mother, daughter.
Yeah. And she had me at 19 years old. And so, she was pretty young, and, you know, I just, I noticed the older I got, the more, I guess we kind of drifted apart, and she tried to take more control over my situation when I was older versus being, a teenager. And I know I'm skipping around, but,
no, that's okay. However it makes sense to you to tell it.
Yeah. But I ended up, I started dating, a new person who was very, very healthy for me. And we're still together. We've been together for 8 years, and he's seriously the best thing that's ever happened in my life. And I wanted this relationship to really work. And so I was doing things to change myself. I was, realizing, positive versus negative, friends and family that were around me. And a situation occurred around Thanksgiving. We had been together for a few years already, and my parents had never met his parents, and I wanted to have my parents meet them for the first time, which I thought Thanksgiving was a good time. And so we had this whole thing planned that was going to happen at my boyfriend's parents' house, and he scheduled it with his family, and everything was ready to go. And the day before, my mom canceled. And, you know, I mean, his parents are, they do very well from themselves. They like to keep a clean house. It's, you know, but it was more of like a tidy and insecure thing for my mom. And she was like, you know, my dad, he's the kind of guy who wears sweats, and he didn't want to get dressed up. So she was using all these excuses like, your dad doesn't really want to wear nice clothes. He's just comfortable not having, you know, to keep his shoes off walking into a house. And, you know, now he's sick, I'm sick. And it was just all excuse one after another. And it upset me because I think as naturally as it should, because I was looking forward to this a lot.
Yeah, well, of course, it must have felt very self-serving for you that they weren't coming to something that meant something to you.
Yeah. So anyway, a few weeks had passed and I kind of gave her the silent treatment. I was just like, okay, you know, that's fine. I hope you have a good holiday. Like, I'll talk to you soon before Christmas. And we ended up over Facebook Messenger having, I was at work one day, and at this time I was the general manager for a restaurant. And I didn't have time. It was in the middle of lunch rush and she kept messaging me. It was popping up on my phone and I'm like, just 1 minute, you know, like it just blew up and I blew up on her. She blew up on me. It was a really bad argument. And somehow I don't even remember, my boyfriend ended up getting involved, but she messaged his parents over Facebook Messenger and said these really horrible things. And his mom called me that night and was just really upset. And I really thought that I was going to lose him because now he's seeing my mom's real side. Now he's seeing what I've been through, and what she's capable of. And now she's targeting his family. And I just lost it. And I have been trying to mend that with my own self this whole time.
So how long ago was that incident?
That was about 4 years ago.
Okay. And so tell me what it's been like since. I mean, do you have a relationship with your mother?
I do. I didn't speak to her for 2 years. And then I ended up trying to mend things with her and it didn't go well. And she lashed out pretty negatively with just things that happen in our life. And so I stopped talking to her. And what brought us together was my brother was getting married and then they were having a baby. And so I wanted to be around a lot more. So I just tried to, you know, do the best I could and basically suck it up and, you know, try to put it behind me, even though, you know, there was no apology. There was nothing that I was ever going to get from it. So I just moved on and we talked today. We have a relationship. But it's always just like tiny little things that happen, little jabs, little, like I try to do something and say something really nice and then she'll come up and bring it in more of a negative way that makes me feel guilty. And I know I'm leaving a lot out, but it's, I just don't know how to work with that part of her. And journal speak has helped me realize that all the bad shit that I've ever been through in my life, my anxiety and my pain in my stomach and my shoulder pain come from the anxiety that I have with my relationship with my mother.
Okay. So let's do this. So thank you for that background and I'm definitely going to come back to it. So don't fear. Okay. I got it all cataloged in my little card catalog mind. So tell me, so there obviously is a reason that you are seeking out my guidance. So given that backstory that we're going to come back to, tell me about your anxiety, your pain. Basically, tell me why you are looking toward a chronic pain therapist, why you found this work in the first place and what you've done so far with it so I can guide you as best I can.
Okay. Actually, I was listening to My Favorite Murder when I heard your name come up. And I had gone to therapists before for my anxiety, and I ended up getting kind of nowhere because I knew that having the stomach pains that I was having, which 2 years ago I was actually diagnosed with fibroids in my uterus, and I had never had such bad pain in my life, and I was told that it stemmed from stress, and I have been trying to, you know, to see where that stress was coming from. And everybody was like, oh, well, you were in a domestic violence relationship, you know? And I'm like, but I'm not traumatized. You know, I don't feel like I've been through some bad stuff, but I know that's not where it's coming from. It's something else. And then I started listening to your podcast and there was one episode where, and I can't remember what podcast episode it was, but you were talking to a gal that, you were trying to figure her out and you were saying, okay, what is your relationship with your mother? And it just triggered my brain. And I was like, oh my God, that's it. Like, it has to be the way that she makes me feel because it's not good. And every time I see like a text message from her or a phone call, I instantly just, like my body just seizes up. And
yes. It's a trauma response.
It is. And, you know, when I was younger, I thought that my right shoulder, I have just where I carry all of my stress is, just a big ball, just a knot of, soreness. I don't know how to say it, but I was getting cortisone shots at like 19 because the doctor couldn't figure out why it was so like what was going on with me. He couldn't figure it out. And so he was like, well, let's just give you some cortisone shots. I think, you know, that'll help. And it didn't. And so I never knew where this was stemming from. And I think it's just because I just have never figured it out until that one episode when I actually just went from My Favorite Murder to log on to your podcast. And it was the first one I clicked on. I like to click kind of in the middle. So I don't start fresh, but I see what the middle is like just to get the thick of the podcast.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
I ended up starting it completely over, which is, I'm really glad because I've started it over twice now. It helped me realize how to actually journal speak. And I realized what was so negative about me with my insecurities and journal speaking wrong. Cause I've been trying to do this over the last year. And I realized actually after I messaged you, so it's been, I don't know, a month and a half, 2 months. I started over and your second episode was talking about how to journal speak. And what I was doing wrong for myself was I was writing everything down and going back and reading it.
Okay.
And so I ended up going onto my computer, typing it up, like you said, deleting it all and saving a blank canvas. And
yes,
it has really, really helped get these emotions and these feelings just like out of my head. So I guess it's just been really hard because, you know, I don't want to feel this way about my mom, but I don't know how to approach her. And I'm scared to say the wrong thing. And I guess I just really would love to know how you think I should go about that because the journal speaking is helping me, but it's not helping my relationship with my mom because I'm not acting the same way as I do when I'm on my own. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. Okay. So we're going to take it back to the studs and then we're going to build it like a house. Okay.
Okay.
So right now we're going to go to the foundation. So the first question I have, actually, before I even ask a question, I just want to explain something to you. So our bodies are either in fight or flight or in rest and repair. When we're going for our most basic primitive survival mechanisms, we're either safe or we're unsafe. That's why when you hear your mother's voice or you see her phone, her number come up on your phone, you get that little fright, right? You get that like wave of anxiety, that tightness. Where does it land in your body? Where does it land?
In my chest and in my right shoulder.
Okay. All right. Perfect. I mean, not perfect, obviously, but perfect for me because I know what I'm looking for. So, okay. So essentially, when you know, we as human animals in our most primitive sense are no different than regular animals. So when, let's say, a herd of gazelle are grazing nicely on the savanna and a lion appears in their peripheral vision, there is a chemical response that runs through the herd. Mm-hmm. It's a consciousness response and it is a physical response that is informed by consciousness, and they understand that there is a dangerous predator. And so what happens, as you know, or you may not know, but I'll tell you, is circulation goes up, respiration goes up, digestion is suppressed, because obviously when you're running for your life, you should not need to be hungry or go to the bathroom. And cortisol floods your system, adrenaline floods your system, right? You're getting ready to fight or to flee.
Right.
You are getting ready to decide or to freeze. You're getting ready how to save your life. And that is exactly what happens when your mother calls. And so for you to know, first of all, that you are perfectly normal, there's nothing wrong with you. You're not broken. In fact, your body is operating in absolute perfection. The predator is introduced into the situation. And just like any other animal, your body is gearing up to protect you. So your anxiety is a loving, kind response, but you don't want it. You know, I often say to people that our brain and our nervous system feels like chronic pain and chronic anxiety and whatever other symptoms we're experiencing is like the kinder, softer way. It's the way that, you know, if we're just anxious and trembling, we'll stay safe and small, away from the things that trigger us. And so that's why this is a conscious process of rewiring our neural pathways by feeling what we need to feel in order to keep our body in a safer spot. What you are experiencing is you have an ongoing trigger. You have a mother and we have such a biological, you know, a conscious and unconscious connection to want to connect with the mother. And so it's very, very tough spot. And so what I want to at least just at the very beginning of this delineate for you is there's a difference between your relationship with your mother and your relationship with your body. And you can heal the second one completely without having to heal the first one.
Okay.
And thank God, you know, because there's two things that we can't change. We can't change the past and we can't change other people.
Right.
But we have enormous power to change ourselves and our actions and our responses and our behaviors. And this is a huge tool. So just know that it is not inextricably tied. You are your fate of the way you feel and the way you process things and the peace with which you live your life is not tied in any fashion to healing your relationship with your mother.
Okay.
And I'm really glad to say this to you because I have to tell you, honey, that when I used to work with Dr. Sarno, and I would sit on the Sarno panel, I would speak, you know, probably about once a month, hundreds of people in the auditorium, and they used to run a microphone and people would ask questions after each of our talks. Mm-hmm. And the number one question was, but my boss stresses me out and it makes me feel horrible and attacked every time I walk into the office, but I can't quit my job because it's the only job that I'm going to make the kind of money to support my family.
Right.
So I guess I'll never get better. Right. And Dr. Sarno would stand up time and time and time again and say, it has nothing to do with quitting your job. You can walk in every day with that boss. It's just about the nervous system understanding that you're not in danger and that we do that by bringing enough repressed emotions from the unconscious to the conscious, that when you are feeling your feelings and your nervous system knows your feelings aren't going to kill you, then it doesn't need to send the fight or flight response and the anxiety doesn't get triggered. So it's very important that you know that. Okay?
Yes.
Okay. Now that we've set that stage, what I want to know is I want to now understand, because here we are in a real-time heal, so right. Now you're my therapy client for the day. I want to understand this relationship with your mother, and I want to first forgive you 1,000,000% for anything you need to say or feel, because if you don't tell the truth, you're never going to get well.
I know. Okay.
Okay. Okay. So I want to start with the 5-year-old being molested by this. It was a neighbor.
It was my friend's dad.
Your friend's dad.
Yeah, it was basically one of our neighbors that we lived down the street from them in an apartment.
Okay. What I want to know is how did you, and there's no right or wrong answer. Mm-hmm. How did you feel in terms of your response you got from your parents and most specifically your mother? Did you feel supported? Did you feel loved? Did you feel cared for? How was that experience for you?
Not at first because, this is hard to say because it's like, I just feel like I'm still that age.
That's okay, honey. That's the point though. She's in there.
I know.
She's in there and we need to care for her.
I didn't feel very supported because I don't feel like they believed me. And I just didn't feel like they believed me at first. And then it made me think like, well, did this actually happen? And it's like, no, I know it did. They're like, are you sure? Are you sure? And I'm like, what do you mean I'm sure? Like, yes, I'm fucking sure. Like,
of course. Yeah.
And so I was so scared to ever, I guess, go to them about anything else because I didn't feel like I would be heard, because of just that one moment. And I'm glad they took it seriously and ended up going to the police about it. But to be honest, I don't remember anything else after, like whatever happened to him, what the outcome was. I just remember never seeing that friend again, but it made my rest of my adolescence just shit. I never stayed the night at a friend's house unless there was a group of us. I always tried and then I'd call my dad to come get me. I just never trusted it and had the anxiety about it since I was so young. So it kind of screwed me up a little bit.
Yeah, no, I mean, it has long reaching effects when we have something happen to us that young. So listen, none of this stuff is ever to make you feel like this is an insurmountable, horrible wound, because there's no wound that can't be healed. Okay. Right. But I want you to know that there was a moment where little 5-year-old Crystal, who has already been completely and utterly traumatized by having this sexual experience that she had absolutely no idea how to integrate. Mm-hmm. And when you look to your mother, the person who is supposed to be the one who, you know, protected you and cared for you at all costs, when she didn't give you what you needed in that moment, there was a wound there that has probably been pervasive for your life. And also, she clearly, given the little bit you've told me about her, has added insult to injury with other ways that you guys relate.
Yes.
So, okay, so we're going to take that. And now I want to ask, tell me, aside from that one situation, and of course, its far-reaching effects on your socialization and clearly your sexual, I don't want to say lack of boundaries. I don't know if you wanted to have sex when you were 12, but...
No, I ended up, so I, it was actually on my 13th birthday. She ended up getting me on birth control at the age of 12, and didn't tell my dad. And my dad found out after I had lost my virginity. He actually found my birth control and, was mad at me. And I was like, well, mom got me on it. She didn't tell you. Like, I didn't, it's not like something I'm going to go to my dad and just like necessarily be like, hey, thanks, you know?
Yeah.
I guess that was the first time I kind of realized that, I mean, and they're still married. They're going on 40 years this year. And I just, it was kind of the first time I really realized how much she just kind of withheld a lot of stuff from him. And he's such a good guy, but he just was kind of, oblivious to some of the things that she would do. And one of them was the birth control. And I just figured, you know, she has me on this and it's meant to protect you from getting pregnant. And so I might as well just have sex since I have a boyfriend. And I didn't have that discussion really growing up, or the boundaries, or what was right, what was wrong. I mean, I had health class, but it just basically, you know, explained the generic stuff. I mean, that was like the early 90s. so it wasn't something that was, you know, it was a course in health class and that was it. And so I didn't really have that explained to me.
All right. So there was a lot going on with you having to handle a lot of big feelings and very adult, mature kind of situations really on your own.
Yes.
Yes. And so, you know, my work, Crystal, is simple, but it's not easy.
Yes.
And the reason I say it's simple is because it's not complicated why we suffer. If you take a 5-year-old child who has this incredibly traumatic experience, then you have parents who question it and then eventually do the right thing, but then it's not followed up by deep conversation and soothing and therapy and all the things that would have helped a little girl integrate that experience, understand that experience. I'm imagining that stuff didn't happen.
No.
So you're left. Go ahead.
One of the things that I wanted to mention too, while I was growing up throughout middle school and high school, my parents were having pretty bad times. And, something that you mentioned in your, one of your podcasts, this is when kind of my compulsions, like an OCD kind of started, is when they would fight, I would do things to try to like help myself feel better. So maybe that would stop them to fight. And so like I would, if my brother was sleeping, I'd go wake him up and then we would go play Tetris, you know, like I would on the computer, or, you know, a Game Boy, and I would try to like distract myself and, I don't know, just do just random weird, like go organize the towels and, you know, like and just hopefully they would stop fighting if they saw me like cleaning or watching my brother, you know? And so that's when I started noticing like the compulsion side.
Okay. Yeah. So we haven't discussed tell me a little bit about your OCD. Cause I want to get back to the simple, not easy part. Cause I want to explain to you why this is manifesting for you as these symptoms, as a much more manageable way to deal with your feelings. So I will get to that, but explain to me. So anxiety is one of the things you suffer from, and you said shoulder pain and stomach problems, but what goes on with the OCD?
It's so hard to explain because it's something I've never really talked about. I don't know. It's like and sometimes I'm still working on it. I'll notice that if I turn, since I've been a teenager and started driving, anytime I turn the radio up, I either have to have, you know, the channel on like a prime number has to be like on a 3 or a 7, or, you know, it can never be on an even number, and it'll make me feel better because if I go home, like things will be okay. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course. Yes. I talk often of OCD, and what I say OCD is, as are eating disorders. And those are the two number one and two afflictions that children end up getting involved with because they have no control over their lives. Mm-hmm. And so when you have no control over your life, you can control two things. You can control the fake safety of stuff like having your radio on a prime number, or how many times you wash your hands, or how many times you turn on and off a light. You know, that it's a boundary where you can put your safety there because the rest of your life feels so out of control. And of course the other thing is eating, because no one can force you to eat, and no one, you know, so no one has that kind of control over you. And so, yes, of course I understand that fake safety is the only safety we have. And OCD is something we use in order to make our brains perceive safety when there is no way we can get there with our conscious life. Right. And so, would you say that's a big problem in your life today?
I would. I think since I have been journal speaking and listening to your podcast, and ever since you've came into my life, really over the radio, I've gotten a lot better, and it's not as noticeable. I do catch myself though. Like today I was driving home and I turned my radio up and I just made sure it was on like 13 because it was on 12. And I'm like, no. Like, you know, I'm starting to realize it. I'm starting to notice my actions. And so it's getting better though.
So if you were to, at that point, put it down to 12 and say, I'm going to do this. I can do this. Would you be able to handle the ride?
I think so. That's kind of where I'm at right now, that I turned it back just to, like, you know, tell myself to F off.
Oh, you did turn it back.
Okay, I did.
Awesome. So Crystal, honey, here's what I want to say to you. Okay. I want to say that you're freaking awesome and you're doing this. Okay. I need you to get that, because one of the main things I want to do in Real Time Heal is to give you my confidence, because people need confidence. People need to understand you're on the right path. Yeah. You know, When I say the work is simple but not easy, what I mean is that it makes just perfect sense that OCD behaviors, anxiety, physical manifestations, especially in the stomach. Stomach is the number one place we hold stress and fear. Mm-hmm. And the shoulder thing, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there are some people that say like, oh, I feel like I have the whole world on my shoulders or something like that. You know, I'm not sure if I prescribe to something quite so, you know, cheesy, but I definitely, it doesn't matter. It's, you know, you did say that it started when you were 19, and you also did mention that's the year you married your semi-abusive boyfriend.
Yes.
Or totally abusive boyfriend.
Yes.
And it also is the age your mother had you. So 19 is a pretty symbolic number for you.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's also a prime number.
That's funny.
If we're going to like just dot all the I's and cross all the T's, I mean, why not? Let's just go all the way.
So true.
You know, I just think, and so when I say it's simple, it's so poignant for me. It's so beautiful. It's so obvious why we're such soft, lovely humans. We're just trying our best.
I know.
Look at your life. You're just trying your best. You have this terrible thing happen to you when you're 5. You have these not emotionally integrated parents who don't know what the hell to do about it. So they do essentially nothing.
Yeah.
You know, they're clearly not communicating with one another. And then this act of, you know, and I don't mean to throw them under the bus, but real selfishness to not meet your boyfriend's parents, to not just make themselves a little uncomfortable for one night.
I know,
I'm on your side, bro. Yeah. Like it's a lot for you to take. And so what do we do when we're in our most tender state, is that we go to our most primitive coping mechanisms, right? So like we either eat, or we like zone out to Netflix, or we drink or use drugs, hopefully not, because that's like the more dangerous ones. But the point is, we do what we need to comfort ourselves. And what our nervous system does when it's feeling super triggered, it goes to its comfort foods, which are anxiety, stomach problems, body problems, pain, because the reason those are easier is because in the perception of our brain and our nervous system, those are ones you can handle. Your mother is a complex being that I'm sure has plenty of generational trauma. Mm-hmm. I'm sure life wasn't easy for her having a baby at 19. I'm sure she had a difficult childhood because we all have our shit.
She did. Her mom wasn't the best person, and I see it. And, you know, I definitely see the way that she treats her, and, you know, she's still alive and she still does it. And it's like, man, like, don't you see, like, you are doing this not only to me, but to, you know, my brother. And it's like, you got it. And I've tried so hard. I've even forwarded her some of your podcasts, and she's like, I don't believe in therapy. And it's like, oh God, like, but I, you know, it's like, not about, like you said, changing her. It's me. I really want.
But the thing is, it's what's important is that we see the whole thing. Yeah. We see the whole picture. You know, it's like, I like to say, it's like Google Maps. Like you put the point in, and then you back up and you look at the whole entire landscape. And it's not to give your mother any sort of an excuse. It's mm-hmm. just an explanation that she had her stuff. She brought it into your life. She did what she did. And now your nervous system is trying to manage this complex woman and your natural biological impulse to want to connect with her because it's your mother. And then when it feels so impossible, when the memory of your abuse feels so impossible, when the memories of your, or even the felt body memories of your abusive relationship become so impossible to feel, what happens is your nervous system goes to its comfort food, which is a big dose of anxiety or a panic attack or, you know, OCD, you know, fascination where you can't stop thinking about something, or a stomach ache that makes you have to go lay down. And it's just the safer spot. And it's our job as sentient, conscious beings to press the pause, just like you did with the radio station, and say, you know what? No. We're not going to go there. Mm-hmm. We'll go there if we have to, but we're not going to go there without a fight, because it's conscious time. It's time to be awake and aware of why I'm doing what I'm doing, because it's not serving me. And it's our job to tell our nervous system what's no longer serving us. Does that make sense to you?
It does. Yes.
And so tell me a little bit more. So today your symptoms are your anxiety, OCD, stomach, shoulder. How have you progressed? Because I know that this is not completely new for you. You have done some journal speak. So how can I be helpful to you? So I feel like we've already set the stage of kind of like the belief and the mindset, but how can I be helpful for you? Where do you feel stuck?
Well, I guess I feel stuck, I guess, a couple of ways. One is how do I approach solving, or not even solving, that's not a good word, but how do I approach my mom? How do I, to make me feel like if something does go south and I am trying to either stand up for myself or even just simply have a conversation and it goes bad, how to react without feeling like, feeling guilty or feeling hurt?
Okay. So how much journal speaking have you done about your mom?
Not a ton, to be honest.
Okay, that's where we need to start.
Yeah. I try to at least journal speak about my relationship with her. I mean, realistically, once a week. And I realistically journal speak about 4 times a week, which is an improvement for me.
Which is great. No, that's really good. That's, yeah. You know, resistance is hard and it's hard to find the time. And so, okay. The first thing I want to tell you is, your desire to continue to jump to how do I actually deal with the human person that is my mother is your nervous system trying to keep you from doing the work.
Okay.
Because what you really need to do has nothing to do with her.
Okay.
When you have done what you really need to do around your mother, the way she behaves will no longer trigger you. Now, it might initially give you like a jolt, mm-hmm. but it will not live in you. It will not start that anxiety in your stomach and your shoulder. It will not be something that owns you, because right now I think you still got way too much in your reservoir about this woman.
Okay.
And I think you're really scared to tell the truth.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that it feels, tell me why it feels so scary to tell the truth about your mom.
Because I really care about her. I love her so much. I just don't understand why she just can't be happy with us, with me, you know? And I'm afraid of, I guess because she's just always been kind of an angry person, of just pissing her off. And it makes me really uncomfortable because I just want her to be happy. Right. So I can be happy. Does that? Yeah.
I feel very connected to that desire, because that really was very much what happened with my father and I. Uh-huh. So, okay. Conflict is the number one reason that people have TMS or any sort of mind-body issues or any sort of chronic issues. It's the conflict that kills. If you feel all one way about someone or all another way, even if you hate them, it's really kind of easy. Those are low-hanging fruits to journal speak away. Right. It's the conflict. It's I love them, but I hate them. It's I wish that I never had to speak to them again, but all I want to do is talk to them and have them love me. It is, you know, they're the most stressful person in my life and I just want to be with them and have it be easy. And that's what I'm hearing about you and your mom. Mm-hmm. Would that be true?
It is very true. And I have to say, for one of the first times I did journal speak, I didn't say very nice things at all. And I was just like, God, I hate this fucking woman. And then I wrote it down and I read it and I was like, oh God, like that is such a horrible thing to say, but it's like, but it felt so good. Even though I don't hate her.
No, of course. Journal speak never stays true. Journal speak never stays true because it's just, here's what I think would be helpful for you. And especially since the initial abuse happened when you were 5, it might be very powerful for you to remember that the person journal speaking is not Crystal. How old are you?
I'm 37.
So the person journal speaking is not 37-year-old Crystal, an articulate, smart, well-spoken woman. That's not who's talking. Mm-hmm. 5-year-old Crystal is talking.
Yeah.
A 5-year-old child is the one doing all the journal speak. So to say, I hate this fucking woman. And the thing that's great about journal speak is we get to be a 5-year-old mentality, but with all our big words.
I know.
And with all our complex ability to express ourselves. And so the first thing that you need to do is understand that guilt is a wasted emotion. There is no use for it. It only hurts you and it keeps you back and it's not helping the person you feel guilty about. Plus, they never even know. You know, one of my favorite sayings is acid does more damage to the vessel in which it is stored than that on which it is poured. Okay. Yeah. So when you feel guilty, you're holding all that acid. Okay. So first of all, you got the anxiety, OCD and pain, and then you have all these big feelings that you have every right to, and then you have the guilt. So you're just bathing in that acid and your mom doesn't feel a thing.
Yeah. I know.
It is really time to retire the guilt.
Okay.
I know it's easier said than done, but everything begins with intention.
I know.
And it is time to retire the guilt. I want you to turn to 5-year-old Crystal. Tell me what she looks like.
Curly hair, kind of a smart ass, just spunky and always wanting to run and get into stuff. You know, I was probably eating worms. I don't know. I was very outdoorsy.
Okay. So like a bold, confident, spirited little girl.
Yeah.
With curly hair. What color?
Brown.
With curly brown hair. Okay. Yeah. Beautiful. I can just picture her. She's beautiful. And I want you to realize that that little fierce little girl is desperate. Her arms are up. Her big eyes are looking to you. Carry me, pick me up, take me with you. And that's what you're doing for her when you say, I hate that fucking woman. You are rescuing this sweet little girl who wants to thrive. There's so much life ahead of you, so much for you to do, so much full of confidence and fearlessness and being able to embrace the things that make you feel alive, but we can't leave her behind.
I know. And I feel like I've been stuck there my whole life.
Stuck at five?
Yeah. Just the way that I don't know, just I've never been able to move on.
What would she need to say to us right now? So let's just do a little inner child work. We have a little bit of time left.
Okay.
If we could ask her, and she doesn't have to be five, you know, she could be 8 or 10, you know, she could be 11 and a half or 12 and thinking, my goodness, am I going to have sex with my boyfriend, which is so young, you know, for her to have those kind of, that kind of consciousness. So when we look to little Crystal and we say, tell me what it's like to be you. Tell me what it's like. What do you need to say? What would you say if you could really trust the grown-up that was asking? What do you think she'd say?
Sorry, we're asking the grown-up me?
No, we're asking the little girl. You and I are the grown-ups. You and I are the fierce and strong grown-ups. And we're asking Crystal, this child who we, because you said I can't seem to get past that age, you know, this, and so she really needs a voice. So I want to know, I'm curious about her. I love her and I think she's incredible, but I know she's really scared and confused and full of shame and full of uncertainty about her body and about her parents. Like, what does she have to say?
Don't be afraid. Like, it's okay.
Well, that's what you have to say to her. We need to ask her. What do you have to say? Ask the little girl. That's the voice I'm looking for. That's the harder one. Not talking to her, but listening. Tell me what she would say. What's it like to be her?
It's not easy.
No, it's not, is it?
No.
Tell me more. Tell me what it's like to be you, Crystal.
It's really tough to smile. You know, it's hard to be comfortable unless everyone else is comfortable. You know, I always carry that weight. And if everybody else is smiling and happy, then I can do that. Then it's my turn.
And what happens if other people are unhappy? Why is that so scary?
Because then I feel like I have to make sure that I can change that, that I feel maybe happy inside, but I can't let that out because I know that it would make someone else upset or it wouldn't be fair.
So did you happen to come? You didn't come or listen to my inner child retreat, did you?
No, I didn't.
I'm going to send you that recording for free. I'm going to send that to you when we're done.
Okay. Thank you.
You're so welcome. This is what we need to do for you. This is going to be the gold nugget of this conversation. You have a little girl in there who is so, she's doing the, I don't know if you follow me on Instagram or you've seen my posts, but I've been talking about emotional monitoring. I've been talking about how there's a trauma response that when we're constantly monitoring other people's energy and emotions to see if they're okay, it's a trauma response. Did you see that? Did you catch that one?
No, I actually, you know, I don't do any social media like Instagram or Facebook. It's one of the things that I just can't get past with kind of the negative stuff that happened with my mom. I quit social media probably about 5 years ago.
Oh yeah, I totally respect that. The only reason I ask is because I put out so much good free stuff on Instagram that if you want to just like open an Instagram account and follow only my account and use a fake name.
Okay.
just because it's not about being on social media. It's just the only way to communicate. But that is one thing we've been talking about a lot in my Instagram community is trauma responses. And I just think you'd get so much out of it.
Okay.
But anyway, so one of the, since you don't know about it, one of the things I posted this week that got a ton of engagement because people are so relating to it is when you're constantly monitoring other people's emotions to see if they're okay, it's a trauma response. And I did it. Oh my God. I did it my whole life until I figured it out because we are going back to a time where we felt so unsafe if other people were unhappy because it meant the most basic needs of ours wouldn't be met.
Yeah. That's very true. That's exactly what that's who I am. Okay. I have to go online and see this.
Yeah. So just like I said, you don't have to do social media, but just go on. It's at Nicole Sachs LCSW and read the stuff I put out there. I also have like 60 episodes of something called I Am Evidence, which is an IGTV series. It's all free and it's all on my page.
Okay.
And you can, so there's just so much information that you, that could really benefit you. But I'm also going to send you the Inner Child Retreat, and you can now get acquainted how to use Journal Speak to do your inner child work.
Okay.
And if anybody, by the way, is interested in that, it's you can click the link in on my website, the resources link, and you can purchase that recording. I'm giving it to Crystal for free because she's being so kind and so generous by sharing her story with us. But if anyone's interested in that, you can get it. But anyway, this is what we need to do. Okay. We have a sweet baby who's this fierce spirited girl. And that is everything that's available to you. Her spirit and her soul are in you, but we need to go back and we need to get her.
Okay.
Because she is, she's just confused. She didn't have the right role models.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. It's unfortunate.
And I'm going to tell you something about your mom. Mm-hmm. Your mom is a human being that is other than you, and her destiny is not tied to yours anymore. And it doesn't mean that you can't love her, and it doesn't mean that you can't have a relationship with her, and it doesn't mean that you won't find a way to have a great relationship with her after you reclaim little Crystal and do enough journal speak about your mom where you are no longer being triggered into needing to please her.
Yeah.
But I will say that, you know, it's very important for you to realize that the answers are within you. This is an inside job. And what great news, because if we had to change other people in order to be okay, we would all be on a lifelong trek to nowhere.
Yes, very true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. So so I'm going to send you that, and I want you to just remember that you have a right to say anything you want because it's the little Crystal who's talking, and we're saving your life here. You know, I think a lot of people, they're like, oh, I don't know. It feels wrong. It feels mean. And I'm like, this is your life.
Yeah.
Nobody's listening but you.
Yeah. And then I'm the only one that can help myself, essentially. And I'm so ready. I'm so ready. I'm beyond ready.
Well, I mean, I think you're fantastic. I think you are well on your way. You've already moved over into the perfect mindset. You know what's going on here. How, lastly, just in the 1 minute we have left, how are you with patience and kindness for yourself?
Oh, just has not been good most of my life. Honestly, since I've been journal speaking, within the last, I'd say 6 months, I've been a lot better to myself. It's been a massive struggle, but I'm getting there.
Okay, because there's three facets of my work. Mm-hmm. Believe, do the work, and patience and kindness for yourself. And they're all really important. Do you do the 10-minute loving kindness meditation when you're done journal speaking?
I don't do it after, which I probably should. I do it when I go to bed at night so that it helps me sleep, and I'm laying there and I'll talk to myself and be like, you kicked ass on your run today. You sold this much money in sales, and, you know, like I'll give myself these perks and like, you know, try to fall asleep with that. And it's been working, but I need to do it after I journal speak.
Yeah, I just find it to be so effective that when you make your journal speak practice a 30-minute practice, that's all I ask of you is 30 minutes of your day.
Okay.
Do the 20 minutes of journal speak and then sit down to a 10-minute meditation. I love Insight Timer. I mean, it's funny that they don't sponsor my podcast. They don't even know who I am. And I'm always plugging them.
I've heard you say them. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's just, they have great guided meditations. Many of them are free. Most of them are free.
Yeah.
At least the ones I've used. And just like Sarah Blondin, who also has no idea who I am and always promoting, she has a meditation called Learning to Surrender that I think is just so beautiful.
Okay.
It's BLONDIN. So check that out.
Okay.
And you know, just realize that you're doing it. Like you've got this going on. It just takes a minute. You know, if it takes you 37 years to walk into the woods, you're not going to walk out in 6 months. And so, you know, the progress that you've made already is really amazing.
Yeah.
And I really think from what I can see spending this hour with you, you really have what it takes to do this. It's just about doing it. It's just left foot, right foot, breathe.
Mm-hmm.
you know, it's simple, but it's not easy because it's having bravery to delve into these parts of ourselves that are really freaking thick.
Yeah, it's tough.
The woods are thick in there.
It's true.
You know, and it's nighttime and you need like a big flashlight and a machete to get in there, you know?
Yep. And I, one thing that it has helped me with your podcast so much is like, there were times where when I started this and it was during like, right, it was kind of right in the middle of COVID. And thank God I heard your name on the other podcast I listened to, because I was at the point where I was like, I am just like not, I'm checked out. Like, I don't know where, and I have a healthy relationship now, but it's like, there was just something inside me that I was like, I couldn't even focus at work. And then you have honestly saved me. Even though I'm still broken, I'm just well on my way.
And you are so not broken. You are so, I will not stand for that.
No, I know.
You are so not broken. You are beautiful. So I want to tell you something that a very, very dear friend said to me this morning. This is what we're going to, first of all, and also before I say this, shout out to Georgia Hardstark for My Favorite Murder, bringing me the best people ever. And I just always want to say that Georgia, I know she listens to the podcast. So thank you, Georgia. Thank you so much for sending me Crystal. That's the first thing I want to say. Second thing I want to say is this. There's an ancient tradition in Japan. When they break a plate or a bowl and they would put it, this is obviously back in the day, they would put it back together with gold because it was always more beautiful and stronger after it was broken because of the places where it had been broken and put together with gold. And I really want you to look at yourself that way. You are not broken. Okay. You have been cracked open to have such empathy and such self-knowledge and such introspection, and you're so good at explaining yourself and expressing yourself. You are so not broken. You're just, all your little broken pieces have been welded back together with gold. So look at the beautiful thing that you're creating.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
I really mean it. And I send you such big love. And you know what? I'm also going to send you the recording for my self-compassion mini retreat. So you're going to have, I'm just going to like, it's like cash and prizes. I'm just going to send all this stuff to you and listen to them and get back to me in a few months and let me know how you are. Okay.
I will. I promise.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here and being so brave and sharing your story with us today, Crystal.
Thank you for having me. It's so great to talk to you.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, for everyone out there, this has been Real Time Heal on the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.